The moment Steve Jobs unveiled the first iPhone in 2007, he wasn't just launching a product, he was ushering in a philosophical revolution that would transform human existence. Douglas Rushkoff's Programmer Be Programmed arrived as an urgent warning. Understand the biases of digital tools or risk being manipulated by them. Unlike many tech commentaries that quickly feel dated, Rushkoff's analysis has proven remarkably prescient, offering 10 commandments for digital life that feel more relevant today than when first published. The book's central insight is deceptively simple yet profound. Digital technologies aren't neutral tools. They have inherent biases that shape how we think, communicate, and live. When we use these tools without understanding their underlying logic, we surrender our agency. The question isn't whether to use technology, but how to use it consciously, recognizing when it serves us and when it doesn't. As our lives become increasingly mediated through screens and algorithms, we face a fundamental choice. Will we shape our tools, or will they shape us? We exist in continuous time, while digital technologies operate in discrete moments, a fundamental mismatch that creates tension in our digital lives. The early internet embraced this difference, with conversations unfolding asynchronously over days or weeks, allowing for thoughtful deliberation. Email initially freed us from the telephone's demands, giving us control over when to engage. As connections became always on, we sacrificed reflection for false immediacy. Our days fragment into constant alerts and notifications, reducing complex thoughts to brief reactive messages. The concern isn't that our brains adapt to new tools, but that constant connectivity prioritizes immediacy over relevance. The difficulty focusing on single tasks and anxiety when separated from our phones aren't personal failings. They're natural responses to technologies demanding constant attention. The solution isn't rejecting technology, but recognizing its temporal bias and choosing when to connect. Our computers live in clock ticks, but humans thrive in the meaningful spaces between them. Digital networks excel at distant connections, but often fail at engaging with what's immediately present. At social gatherings, many are physically present, but mentally elsewhere, documenting experiences for remote viewers rather than participating fully. The effects are profound. Extended digital communication makes real eye contact feel overwhelming. We develop stronger bonds with distant people sharing our interests than with neighbors. This dislocation may contribute to political polarization. We no longer share common experiences with those physically near us. What's at stake is our fundamental experience of place. While digital networks excel at maintaining distant relationships, they're poor substitutes for the rich, multi-sensory experience of being present with others. Understanding this bias helps us choose when to connect digitally versus locally, using global networks to enhance rather than replace local communities. The digital realm operates through binary choices. Everything must be expressed as ones and zeros. This binary bias extends beyond computer code into how we experience digital life. Unlike the analog world's continuous flow, digital interactions demand definitive yes-no decisions. Social media platforms force complex identities into standardized profiles, while search engines reduce nuanced questions to keywords. Database architecture requires predetermined categories, limiting self-expression. Though choice initially feels empowering, excessive options actually decrease engagement and freedom. Our choices narrow our world as algorithms filter content based on past selections. The filter bubble means we increasingly see only what algorithms predict we want, creating self-reinforcing worldviews resistant to new information. What makes us distinctly human is our ability to withhold choice, to say none of the above when presented with inadequate options. The most human response isn't making better selections, but questioning the choice architecture itself, whether by refusing to choose, creating alternatives, or stepping away. In the digital economy, scalability has become mandatory rather than optional. While the web initially promised to level the playing field for small businesses, going digital often eliminates their core strengths, human relationships, and local connections. The most successful digital ventures don't compete directly, but position themselves as platforms that mediate all activity. This shift paradoxically concentrates power in centralized platforms rather than empowering small players. Local restaurants must compete on delivery apps that standardize experiences. Creators must conform to mass market platform rules, and community groups must use tools designed for global corporations. The unique and local struggle in an environment that prizes standardization and scale. However, some digital tools enable viable small-batch production and direct creator-audience relationships through platforms like Patreon. Community-focused technologies help local groups organize effectively without massive scale. The most promising digital future may be one where technologies support multiple scales simultaneously, enabling both global reach and local character, mass production, and artisanal creation. This requires intentional design that resists the bias toward universal scaling while preserving what makes human-scale enterprises valuable. Our digital experiences are fundamentally disembodied, encouraging anonymous behavior where identity becomes a liability. When we engage online without attribution, we disconnect from the human impact of our words and actions. The draw of anonymity is natural. Revealing ourselves online makes us vulnerable, while others remain hidden. Yet anonymous engagement enables mob behavior and amplifies technology's dehumanizing effects. With only 7% of human communication being verbal, the rest through tone and body language, online interactions are inherently limited, breeding suspicion that anonymity intensifies. Maintaining identity online becomes liberating when we commit to only saying what we'd proudly own. The alternative is participating in a culture where hostility thrives because no one claims responsibility. By linking our digital presence to our physical selves, we extend real-world social norms to digital spaces. While privacy boundaries remain vital, meaningful connection requires authentic self-revelation. The most valuable digital relationships emerge between people who bring their genuine selves to the interaction, vulnerabilities, and all. Digital technology's inherent programming creates a bias toward coders, leaving us with a choice: learn to program or be programmed. Like our historical approach to cars, where we defaulted to being consumers rather than engineers, our technological ignorance limits our agency. In the 1970s, operating a computer meant programming it. Schools taught students to see computers as anything machines for writing software, revealing how systems of rules shape outcomes. As business interests recognized this power, interfaces became deliberately opaque, obscuring their inner workings. Our relationship with technology has evolved from player to cheater to modifier to programmer, mirroring humanity's broader relationship with media. Digital technology enables self-sustaining information systems that make decisions without us, yet we remain one-dimensional leap behind. This power concentration isn't maintained by force, but by our own reluctance. We view programming as a burden rather than a creative language. The digital age's biases will reflect both programmers and their autonomous systems. Even if not everyone codes, understanding these technological biases is crucial. The choice remains: program or be programmed.